I guess I was asked to address this because I suffer from obesity myself. A few years ago, I was asked to address the same topic in the ERS, and I did it. The asthma COPD combined in half an hour. So now I'm going to focus on COPD since our first speaker addressed the asthma, although I think the discussion at the end would really be fruitful for everyone, since in my mind, obese asthma is also more than one phenotype. We talked about phenotypes this morning. I think the children behave differently than the late onset obese asthmatics. But let's focus on COPD in the next 20 minutes, and I'll share with you what we know. In fact, the studies on obesity and COPD are much less than what we know about it in asthma. As you heard before, most of the studies addressing obesity in general have looked at BMI to classify the different classes of obesity. Underweight being less than 18, obese class 3 or comorbid obesity is BMI more than 40, and you can see the class 1, class 2, and then overweight is 25 to 29.9. However, if you see in the small bullets underneath that even though BMI may correlate with the amount of body fat, BMI does not directly measure or describe the distribution of body fat. And this is very true in children, and so we have to keep that in mind. But also some athletes who are really fit may have a BMI that may identify them as overweight, even though they're not. So it does not account for bone density, body shape, or racial differences. And BMI does change with age, and so therefore it has its own issues. However, we have to get with what we have, and most of the studies addressing obesity and COPD have used BMI as the cutoff to define it. As you heard from the previous speakers, obesity is not only confined to the United States, but all over the world. In fact, there are data from multiple countries, including the Middle East, to show that obesity has been an emerging problem, and even overweight is an emerging problem in different countries, and it's expected to continue to increase in the next 20 or 30 years. Of course, the cost of obesity is not only on the patient, but on the healthcare system, and multiple systems can be affected, including the lungs, although here it mentions breathing problems at night and asthma as one of the lung problems, but certainly it can affect others, including the sleep physiology and obesity hypoventilation syndrome and sleep apnea. So what do we know about obesity and COPD? Well, we know comorbidities of COPD are quite common. In fact, there's quite a bit of stress in the guidelines for COPD, including the 2017 gold guidelines, on the fact that we not only assess symptoms, assess exacerbation risk, assess lung function, but a fourth thing that we should assess as clinician is the prevalence or the comorbidities among these patients. The management of comorbidities in general in these patients is similar to management of comorbidities in non-COPD patients. But just to highlight that changes in the muscle mass and also nutritional deficiency and metabolic syndromes are two prominent comorbidities that have been defined in multiple studies looking at COPD patients and also from our clinical experience. So what do we know about obesity as a risk factor for COPD? As opposed to asthma, there's not quite a consistent publications to link the obesity to causation or at least predisposing to COPD. Most data out there actually have linked weight loss or loss of muscle mass to COPD, and this is true in severe disease where cachexia or loss of muscle mass is very prominent and correlates with morbidity. The effect of obesity on the risk of COPD has not been well established. There are limited epidemiologic studies suggesting that overweight or obese patients may actually protect the patient from developing COPD, at least in men. There's one large Chinese study suggesting that abdominal obesity by itself is independently correlated with spirometric airflow obstruction, as you see with the odds ratio of 1.4. But we also know that obesity as itself is an inflammatory condition and actually predisposes to metabolic syndrome. And systemic inflammation, which I'll talk about in a minute, is also prevalent in COPD, since COPD is characterized by systemic inflammation. And maybe that is the link between obesity and COPD, is the systemic inflammation. From epidemiologic studies, we know the prevalence of obesity and COPD is higher than non-COPD patients. Multiple studies published for many, last 10 years, from different countries in the world, all suggesting that COPD patients tend to have higher obesity or overweight than non-COPD patient or general population. Well, what about our region here in the Middle East? And I don't know if Dr. Koniski is still here. I saw her a few minutes. Yeah, she's here. She published this paper from the BREATHE study. As you all probably are aware of BREATHE study more than me, this was a large cohort study in the MENA region here, looking at different things. But one of the things that they looked at is BMI, and this is a descriptive study suggesting that more than 50% of COPD patients in the MENA region are overweight or have obesity or morbid obesity. And Lebanon, as you see in Lebanon is here, anything outside the yellow bars to the right are obese or overweight. You can see that it is the same like other countries around the Middle Eastern. And in general, the conclusion of this paper is saying that the majority of COP subjects in the MENA region were overweight or obese, but also comorbidities such as diabetes, cardiovascular disease, which are linked to obesity, are likely to be associated in those patients with higher BMI. This has been also replicated, but also looking at metabolic syndrome. As you know, metabolic syndrome is defined by hypertriglyceridemia, low HDL and high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia or intolerance to glucose intolerance. This study shows that in both men and women, the incidence or the prevalence of metabolic syndrome in COPD is higher than the prevalence in non-COPD patients. One thing that one has to keep in mind if you're reading pulmonary function tests, this is very important. I'll talk about physiologic manifestation of obesity in COPD because it tends to fool us. It tends to undermine airway obstruction. Why? Because many of these patients have restrictive pattern on top of their airway obstruction, and it actually may undermine the severity of airway obstruction. In these two studies, they suggest that the higher the BMI, the less likelihood of diagnosing airway obstruction in these patients who are known COPD. So one has to keep that in mind, and we'll talk more about it in a minute. So what's the link? This is a very nice paper several years ago in Thorax that tried to decipher the link between obesity and COPD. And the two main links are two things. One is inactivity. And we talked about this in the morning with a very nice talk on pulmonary rehab. Inactivity is a major problem in COPD, but two is the systemic inflammation. And what's the link between the two? Well, there's quite a bit of discussion why physical inactivity is linked to, obviously, obesity, low exercise, and also low-grade systemic inflammation, which is very commonly described in a COPD patient. The systemic inflammation in COPD has been described in multiple studies showing that systemic biomarkers of inflammation are indeed increased in COPD patients. And there are several theories why this may happen. It could be the spillover hypothesis that inflammation occurs in the lung and it spills over to the systemic circulation. But also there may be an inherent cause that where smoking itself can cause systemic inflammation without the fact that it spills over from the lung. The bottom line, systemic inflammation has been linked to multiple comorbidities, including the cardiovascular diseases, metabolic diseases, nutritional deficiency, but also metabolic syndrome and obesity. How do we know that? Well, many studies have linked obesity with systemic inflammation in general, more so in COPD, but also has linked it to increased insulin resistance. Increased CRP has been shown to be at a higher level in obese COPD compared to non-obese COPD. also change in what we call the adipokines. These are cytokines characteristic of obesity, both increased leptin and decreased adiponectin, although more pronounced in asthma or more described in asthma, have also been described in obese COPD patients. This is one study, for example, looking at CRP level, which is a very nonspecific systemic biomarker of inflammation, but certainly it is much higher in obese BMI patients who are in green compared to normal BMI or just overweight patients. In addition, there are studies suggesting that in a patient who have abdominal obesity and muscle wasting, plasma CRP is much higher than those who do not have muscle wasting or abdominal obesity. What about the role of adipokines, which are the leptin and adiponectin? There are fewer studies in COPD than there are in asthma, but these are important cytokines that may reflect or maybe either the level may be low or high in obesity, but there are not many studies in COPD. Low serum leptin has been described in stable COPD compared to healthy control, likely reflecting the lower fat mass in advanced COPD. There was a positive association in one study between serum leptin and other inflammatory mediators like TNF-alpha. Acute exacerbation may also be associated with increased level of leptin. On the other hand, adiponectin is the opposite. Adiponectin deficiency in mice was associated with increased level of systemic inflammation. But there's limited data in COPD patient with serum adiponectin. What about physiologically? And actually, if you really want to read more on this, and I advise you to look up Dennis O'Donnell's work. He's published more than 6 or 7 pivotal papers on obesity in COPD. Dennis, as you know, is a lung physiologist in Queens and in Canada, and pulmonologist, and he's spent all his work on doing exercise physiology studies, and he certainly can be more eloquent in describing what happens in obesity than I am, but I'll try my best. So we know that lung volumes are reduced in obesity, but also hyperinflation is reduced. So there may be actually a protective effect for obesity on hyperinflation, which is what these patients have. And lung hyperinflation can decrease exponentially with increasing BMI, and inspiratory capacity increases in a way that these patients may have protective effect on this fact that they may actually be less short of breath, and they may have a higher minute volume but a lower shortness of breath to the same minute volume that a non-obese COPD patient do. So weight gain is associated with less hyperinflation and is at rest and during exercise in obese patients. Obesity in COPD can reduce operating lung volumes, as I mentioned, at rest and throughout exercise, with favorable influence on dyspnea perception. And the lung volume reducing effect of obesity may be considered when interpreting lung function tests, as I mentioned. So, well, then that's good. Well, maybe these patients with COPD should all be obese so that they feel better and less short of breath. Well, it's really not the end of the story. In fact, when you exercise them, their exercise endurance is even though they are feeling less short of breath, but the amount of time they spend on the treadmill is much less than non-obese patients. In addition, the sleep pathophysiology in these patients is very altered in obese COPD compared to non-obese. And that may have to do with the lung mechanics, which I just talked about, but also gas exchange as well as ventility control manner. So we know for sure that many of the obese COPD patients may have concomitant hyperventilation or obesity hyperventilation syndrome or obstructive sleep apnea. What about clinical outcome? I'm a clinician. What does it mean for me to see an obese COPD versus a non-obese COPD? Well, early studies actually suggested, and this is why we call it COPD obesity paradox, suggested that obese COPD patients live longer than non-obese COPD patients. And this is, for example, one study in mild, moderate COPD where they followed them over 48 months, and they suggest that patients with BMI more than 29 lived the longest. Patients with BMI less than 20 lived the shortest, and that's why BMI is one of the body index suggesting that a BMI less than 19 has the highest risk of mortality. This has actually been replicated by several other cohort studies, and this is a nice review in International Journal of COPD looking at all the studies that have been published. Many of them are for long-term follow-up, suggesting that the higher a BMI, the longer survival in these patients. And there's actually even a meta-analysis looking at 22 studies suggesting that the adjusted hazard ratio is less than 1 in patients with BMI more than 30. So the real question, can obesity be protective from COPD? Well, before you make the judgment, I should tell you that you really have to think twice before you say that. One is, most of the data we have about this really come from retrospective analysis. And the fact is that the reason the patients with low BMI have worse prognosis is probably not just because their BMI is low, but because they also have lost skeletal muscle mass, diaphragmatic weakness, and have worse severity of airflow obstruction. We know for sure obesity is by itself a major risk for cardiovascular disease, which by itself is higher in COPD patients than in smokers without COPD. Most of these studies did not show the change in weight. They just looked at BMI in a cross-sectional fashion, but they didn't show whether increase in weight can actually worsen outcomes in these patients. One of the studies did, and in fact, when you look at this study where they followed these patients and looked at the change in BMI on the x-axis, they showed that in patients with actually severe COPD, when their BMI less than 25 at baseline, if they increased their BMI, their mortality actually did go down, as you see here. But in patients who had BMI more than 25 and increased the BMI by more than 1 gain, their relative risk of mortality went up. So therefore, it's the change in weight rather than the actual baseline rate that may be associated with increased mortality. And as you see from the table here, there are actually two extremes. Those who had increase in weight had higher hazard ratio, but also those who had increase in weight had a higher hazard ratio, and those who decreased their weight. So there are almost like a U-shaped curve. And indeed, this has been replicated by a large cohort study from the NHANES database in the United States, suggested that mortality, at least respiratory mortality, not necessarily all-cause mortality, which is in blue, but in red is respiratory disease mortality, and all-cause mortality, both have sort of two peaks. In very low low BMI patients who are underweight, but also in class 3 and class 2 obesity, where it also peaks. So probably both extremes are the ones that we should be careful about. The ones in the middle looks like mortality is not an issue when the patient has overweight or class 1 obesity. Extreme obesity in this analysis was associated with increased risk of respiratory condition and respiratory-related mortality, not all-cause mortality. Now, this study tried to look at phenotypes. We talked about phenotypes this morning, and they looked at identified three phenotypes, and two of which predicted mortality, which is interesting. The two phenotypes that were associated with higher mortality were one phenotype, which is the younger. Okay, what happened here? Okay, back. So the phenotype 3 and 2, as you see here, had higher mortality over 3.5 year follow-up. The first one are the younger, very severe airflow obstruction, who are thin and very symptomatic. Those are the cachectic ones that we know have the highest body index and the increased mortality. But on the other extreme, the other phenotype that was associated with high mortality are the older, overweight, with moderate severe COPD, who usually tend to have diabetes, cardiovascular disease, i.e. metabolic syndrome. So there are really two groups here where they identified to have increased mortality. What about clinically? Do these patients have clinical symptoms? How is their quality of life? We had the chance to analyze the COPD gene data. I'm not sure what's going on. Is the battery going? So this is a paper we published early this year from our COPD gene data, and Alison Lampert, who was a fellow at Hopkins, was the first author, and Nadia Hansel, who was supposed to be here but didn't make it, was the senior author. And what we did is we looked at the patients with COPD gene. We had about 5,000 patients, and we looked at their weight and in BMI, as you see in different classes. We tried to look at comorbidities, and you can see the higher the BMI, obesity class 3 was associated with the high with comorbidity count of 4 compared to those with normal patients or BMI less than 30. But more interesting is when you look at different outcomes, symptoms, 6-minute walk test, quality of life measured by SF-36, but also St. George's Respiratory Questionnaire, and more interestingly, looking at severe exacerbation of COPD, all of which correlated with patients with obesity class 3, which is severe obesity, compared to obesity class 1, suggesting that clinically obesity may be associated with several poor outcome measures clinically in this description. And Dennis O'Donnell published this paper summarizing multiple studies that have been published about the clinical consequences of obesity and COPD, and suggesting that obesity can also restrict daily activities, increase risk of comorbidities, hospitalization and healthcare use, sleep disorders, depression, quality of life worsening, and mortality following COPD exacerbation. So in summary, even though the data in COPD about obesity is still emerging, we know that many COPD patients tend to be overweight compared to matched controls that are smokers but no COPD. And obesity is higher in the COPD population in multiple countries, and these have been described. The incidence or the prevalence of metabolic syndrome is also very high, almost approaching 30 to 40% in the COPD population. And these are the patients who are at high risk of cardiovascular complications. Common pulmonary function tests are strongly influenced by obesity and definitely need to be considered in clinical interpretation in obese patients because they may have concomitant restriction. Dynamic hyperinflation, which is interesting, may be reduced in COPD patients compared to non-obese patients, so there may be some advantage on that part during exercise. However, most patients with obesity who have metabolic syndrome are definitely at increased risk of cardiovascular complication. The role of adipokines in COPD is not as well defined as it is in asthma, and I think this needs further testing. There are limited epidemiologic studies suggesting that overweight or obese patients may protect from mortality from COPD, but we have to interpret these data with great caution because probably lean mass may be a better predictor here than BMI, but also because the skeletal muscle measurements were not done, and also the change in weight is probably better as a predictor than the actual baseline weight that most of these studies utilize. Extreme obesity has been associated with increased mortality from respiratory conditions, but not all conditions, at least in one studies. The effect of obesity and or weight loss on the response to treatment has not been well defined. There's one study published where they put these patients on a strict diet and showed that there may be improvement. In the United States, the NIH just funded us. We're part of a group. The main center here is in Seattle, David O and his group. But we'll be doing this study called the INSIGHT COPD. This is a study that we're starting. It's an intervention study in overweight patients with COPD. I don't have time to go through the details, but it's basically trying to do a real-life type of study where we get these patients who are overweight or obese, randomize them to 12-month either self-directed lifestyle intervention, which has been utilized in managing diabetes and other diseases, but never in COPD, compared to 500 patients with control. And then looking at different outcomes, as you see here, of course, weight management, six-minute walk, and other secondary outcome. And this is just my last slide. The self-directed intervention is given by a coach, health coach, initially, and then the patient is given videos and sessions are done at home with phone calls and with intermittent visits to the clinic. So this study is just starting, actually, and we look forward to seeing whether weight intervention can help change outcomes in these patients. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you.